And welcome back to Labor Radio here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We were just listening to a long discussion with the editor of rankandfile.ca, Doug Nesbitt. We talked about, you know, the context of the recent Unifor convention and the retirement of the president, Jerry Diaz, and the corruption scandal and the sort of the
COVID-19 was more than 5 months ago, it's time to get another dose. Boosting your antibodies reduces the risk of getting or transmitting the virus, and booster doses help reduce the number of hospitalizations and deaths related to COVID-19. For better protection against the virus, book an appointment at quebec.ca/COVID vaccine and follow the recommended vaccination schedule. Vaccination against COVID-19, a good way of extending our protection. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Good evening. It's 6 p.m. on the clock. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial and at CKUT.ca, which can be found on the World Wide Web, also known as the Information Superhighway, but more commonly known as the Internet. It's the show about theater on the radio. And if you're asking yourself, hey, that's not Sarah DeHay, you'd be correct. My name is James, and I'll be filling in for Sarah, who will be back next week. But in the meantime and in between time, I'm very glad to be here this evening. I've been a guest on this show a variety of times, and I'm excited to be sitting in the captain's chair, and I will do everything in my power to not burn the place to the ground, which is extremely important because I'm recording this from my home. What we are going to be talking about over the next hour, well, as an avid practitioner in the art of improvised comedy, it only felt right to discuss Montreal Improv's Summer Fling Festival, which begins tonight up until Sunday at the Montreal Improv Theater in St. Henry. 9 shows, 50 performers, 4 days of fun, till your daddy takes your T-Bird away. Tonight's guests include festival performers Dale Bernier, Avery Jean, Dave Kaufman, and so much more. But if you're asking yourself, James, why wait? Why are you teasing us? I couldn't agree more. Let's kick things off and chat with Montreal Improv Artistic Director and Festival Organizer Vance Gillis and producer of Pasco, Why Not, a bilingual improv show, Mel McRae on Upstage. Guys, we are here. We have done it. We have made it. We are one. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here, Mel and Vance.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, let's kick things in high gear right away. The festival begins tonight. Vance, I want to start with you. How exciting is this for this festival to come to life and take place starting this evening?
Very, very exciting. We've been rolling for quite a while now, but we haven't gotten to do some sort of big celebratory gathering like this. So that's going to be a lot of fun. It's just something that the community said that they wanted, which was just a reason to gather and get together and watch each other perform. And so it's very exciting.
Yeah. And we were talking a little bit about this off air. Now, you've been at the helm of sort of the resurgence of Montreal Improv for the past couple of years. What's it like to see this festival come to fruition, having gone through all of the, you know, the aisles of COVID, if you will?
I mean, it's very satisfying. It's been building up towards this. We launched this new Montreal Improv during the pandemic. So it almost feels like this is sort of the payoff for the past 2 years, where we actually get to do the things that we love to do the most, which is getting people together and watching each other's shows and showing support and that sort of thing. So it's very, very exciting because we were not able to do anything like this for the first year at all. And then last year was a bit shaky. It was like we're learning to walk again. We didn't know, you know, how to gather. We were all figuring it out as we went along. So it's nice. We obviously are not through the pandemic yet, but it's very nice to be able to gather and put on something like this, which we haven't seen in Montreal in a few years now. It's been, 2019, I think, was the last time that there was an improv-focused festival in the city. So yeah, it's very nice to be back.
Yeah, it's exciting to have things back once and for all, fingers crossed and knock on wood. There's just a variety of shows that are going to be taking place over the next few days into the weekend. And Mel, one of those is one of your shows, a relatively new producer to the comedy world in Montreal. You've got a show called Pascue, Why Not, which is a fully bilingual improv show. Can you talk to us a little bit about the development of the show and what inspired you to create this show?
Yeah, so I am francophone and anglophile and wannabe polyglot. So I naturally like languages and I naturally speak French and English together and I mix them. So when I wanted to play with other people in French and English, and I understand as learning languages or playing in different languages, funny expressions might mean something different to different people, and I just wanted to explore that with people and to see them experience that, and it has been wonderful to see people who only play in English, who do improv in English, to try to do it in French. Beautiful, and some beautiful expression that come out of there, people being vulnerable with and you know, to do something different, it has been beautiful to see.
Well, that's sort of the interesting thing, right? When we think about improv, whether you're a teacher, student, or performer, we're kind of taught under the ideology of, can we embrace errors and mistakes? And Mel, what's interesting about your show is that mistakes are 100% guaranteed, whether you're a francophone performer attempting to perform in English or vice versa. And I say this myself from experience, having been part of the first iteration of this show, where the French did not come as naturally as it does offstage, which also doesn't come naturally off stage either. So I feel like, Mel, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like there is some semblance of a mischievous eye that you enjoy about this show, watching these performers struggle and perform outside of their skin. Confirm or deny? Be honest on the show.
I'm going to be honest. It's true.
Is yeah, there... that laugh was incredibly evil, right? We can admit that there's some semblance of a Joker-esque response to that question.
Hey, the only requirement to perform in the show is the ability to understand French. And some people will play entirely in English, but it's really the willingness to try it. And that willingness and that little bit of willingness, there is so much humor to find. And James, you and your French is something beautiful to
Now, I love that Vance is immediately laughing at the compliment of, James, you and your French is beautiful. He knows the truth. Mel, you're buttering me up, and I love it.
Yeah, I do enjoy it. You know, there is, you know, different Quebecois expression that people are unaware, or French from French. Or
And some of which we can't say on the air.
Yeah. And it's beautiful. It's, you know, the joy too is really, it's something new. So something new, experimenting something new like that is it's kind of liberating. Okay, yes, I'm a joker. I totally enjoy this.
Well, but this is the thing, you know, you've mentioned the word beautiful, and it might be cheesy to say, right? But we are in Montreal. It is a bilingual city where we celebrate both English and French. So it's nice to watch the blending of both of those languages come together in the name of comedy in your show, because generally speaking, when we're thinking about both sectors of comedy in the city, there is some segregation between the two. If there's an English show, it's in English. And if there's French, there's a French show. What is fun about this production that you've got going on as part of this festival is that you get to celebrate both, and one is neither greater than the other.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree and believe in that. When I started learning improv, I was redoing the same class. I first do it in English and then I would retake it in French, because it's something I genuinely believe in, like the ability to perform in both French and English. There is to me something beautiful, a balance of the mixed Also, I do love French, and I believe personally there's more than one way of speaking French and sharing French and doing those things with an Anglophone environment and vice versa. So there's something about that attracts me a lot.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, there are a variety of ways to present your French, and I often present mine poorly.
James, c'est une question d'attitude.
Well, Vance, I want to quickly go to you because when Mel presented the show for the first time, you and I were both in the show. What was your experience performing in French? Because I don't believe I had ever seen you perform in French before.
I mean, I loved it. I thought it was great. It was very, very fun. My French elicited a lot of laughs, even when I didn't mean for it to.
Oh, so we have something in common.
We have something in common. Yeah. I mean, I remember right before the show was about to begin, I in my deep Nova Scotian voice called it Parska, why not? Which had several people jumping all over me and laughing at my pronunciation. So I think that sort of cued me into what the rest of the show was going to be like, what the experience on stage was going to be like.
Yeah, what's great is that, of course, we can see each other as we have this conversation. And as you just say the word, quote unquote, Parska, Mel is immediately laughing.
Yes. I mean, sometimes I'm struggling. Is it bad that I'm laughing at people, my friends' accent who are performing, or is it comedy? I'm gonna say I'm laughing with you guys, and the audience is also laughing with you guys.
Well, that's a
Yeah, we
very
know what we're in for.
we absolutely know, and that's why for me, say aucun problem. Now, Vance, I want to go over to you. Of course, you're curating the festival, so you've got your hands in all the paint here. But I want to chat with you specifically about what I would consider to be, maybe for lack of a better term, your baby in the festival, and that's 50/50. It's a show that you've presented a multitude of times, specifically at Just for Laughs. Variety of instances. Can you tell us a little bit about the show for the people who might not know about it?
Yeah, so it's essentially a show that's meant to bring non-comedy people to the comedy space. So in 50/50, there's a series of scenes, and in each of the scenes there is a scripted actor who typically is not an improviser and does not have much improvising experience and will not be required to improvise. They're off book. They've learned lines from a real script, but their partner's lines have not been learned by anyone. They're actually going to be paired with improvisers who have no prior knowledge of what the actors have rehearsed and what they've learned, and they have to make up their dialogue and figure out what is coming in this scripted scene that they, don't have any prior information on. And that's the show. It's really just eight or nine scenes. Where the improvisers are sort of trying to figure it out as it goes along. So they're in the middle of the scene. I liken it to trying to build an airplane as you're falling out of the sky. It's super, super fun. And again, it's something where the audience, just like with Mel's show, the audience is sort of in on the joke, and the joke being that the improviser has no idea. They have no idea where the script is going. So they're making discoveries within these scenes at the same time as the audience. And it's so fun. I wish I could take credit for it. This is a format that we borrowed from the UCB Theater in New York City, and we've turned it into our own thing. But it works. It works 100% of the time. And again, I wish I could take credit for that, but it's just the format
Well, in
itself.
fairness, you can take credit for the success of the Montreal version of the show. I demand that you take credit for it.
All right. Well, I mean, if you demand,
Well, and this is the
I
thing.
will do
See,
it.
Sarah's not here this week where
Yeah.
I've decided I'm going to bully the guests. Where
Yeah,
Sarah,
that's fine.
she's far sweeter and kinder than I am, where tonight
Yes.
I'm sitting in the chair, so it's, you know what? I'm going to demand things out of the guests on tonight's program.
Yeah, I don't know what I was expecting without Sarah here, but I've been put in my place clearly. Yeah, I mean, look, the show. This is going to be the 13th edition, lucky 13. And it's been performed in Toronto and Ottawa and Montreal and a variety of festivals, at, you know, in non-festival shows. It's been at Mainline Theatre, Montreal Improv, the Arts Court Theatre, all these different spaces, all these different places, all these different contexts, and it always works. And what's nice about it is it gets a lot of people who are mostly dramatic actors. That's generally who we gravitate towards to play these scripted roles, because they're reading from these very dramatic public domain scripts. They get to have some fun. You know, a lot of times, like I said, comedy is kept separate from dramatic theater to such an extent that there's literally no overlap at all. So it's a very nice thing, and it always, always works. The actors are always terrified before the show, and they always have such a good time. And the improvisers are even more terrified than the scripted actors, and they always have a good time and always have a good showing.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because we can strike some parallels between what we were chatting about with Mel about bringing the both French and English comedy communities together. We do the same thing with 50-50, right? Where we take, as you mentioned, these dramatic actors and bring them to the same page as the wacky and weird and strange world of improv that maybe wouldn't cross streams usually.
Yeah, exactly. It becomes, I mean, I hate to phrase it this way, but it does make improv, I think, even more accessible in this way. Like you don't have to have prior knowledge of improv. You don't have to have seen an improv show before to get what's happening when you show up and to have a good time. And so I'm always really proud of this show. I would produce it more if it wasn't such a great undertaking, because there's so much required from the actors and the improvisers and everybody involved. But it's a show I'm really proud of, and I love it. And I'm excited for this Saturday. We've got an amazing, amazing cast of people.
Yeah, and that show takes place Saturday, 8:30 p.m. at the Montreal Improv Theater, located in St. Henry, accessible by, of course, Place St. Henry Metro and Station Lionel Groulx. There you go, Mel, a bit of French. I said the word station.
C'est magnifique, j'adore.
There you go. The reviews are in. C'est magnifique. Now, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the festival as a whole, Vance. How long has it been taking to sort of put everything in place, the puzzle pieces, as festivals tend to be? They start to float around until they finally come together. What are you most looking forward to as the festival approaches beginning tonight?
I mean, mainly I'm just excited that it's actually going to happen. This started as an idea for a February festival. And we had, of course, our shutdown, one of our famous shutdowns.
Old man COVID.
Yeah, exactly. So winter and Christmas and the post-Christmas break did not quite go the way that we had planned. So we ended up obviously pushing this off. But I'm excited for it to happen. I'm excited to see all the folks that are going to be coming through to our space for the first time. I'm excited to see all the folks that are going to be performing in their first ever festival. We have a lot of folks that came to improv during the pandemic, so they haven't had a chance to even have something like this, some reason to gather. Mostly my absolute favorite thing that I'm excited about are the workshops. So we have free workshops happening for a variety of experience levels. And I love having people that have never done improv before come into this space and have a good time. Those workshops are always great. They're 60 minutes. There's no, we don't try to sell you on anything. It's literally just a free workshop. We just want people to come in and have a good time. And so we have two of those happening this week. And all that info is on our website at montrealimprov.com.
Now, talking about good time, France, I really appreciate you mentioned that. One of the beautiful things about doing something like an improv show is you, as a producer, I get to put a mood on it. I get to give it a little bit of flavor. And, before starting the show, I remind my performers that, you're going to have fun today. You're going to make mistakes. Enjoy it. You're gonna F up, and that's okay. Have fun with this, and that type of joy, the joy that that most likely you're going to make a mistake, but and it's going to be okay, and you're gonna have fun, and then people are going to be on your side, even if you think you might have difficulty with the language, but there's the joy in that. I really appreciate that as a producer, having that type of freedom to bring people together, to let loose and, you know, just enjoy the process of performing with other people.
Now, I didn't expect us to have such a heartfelt moment as I fill in as guest host of Upstage, but we just achieved it.
Yeah, Sarah's here in spirit.
She's here in spirit. Yeah, she's providing the sweet sentimentality of it. Now, in the name of sentimentality, Mel, what you just said was wonderful, but I'm curious to talk about something Vance mentioned. For a lot of people, this is a first time in performing in a festival. Now, earlier this year, you were part of Montreal Sketch Fest. I believe, if memory serves correct, this is your first improv festival. Outside of just being a producer, but a performer, what does it mean to you to get to perform in the Summer Fling?
To me, it feels so nice to be part of a community like Montreal Improv, to be able to produce a show there. It means a lot that people see the show, they recognize that there's some value to it, and they want this to come back. I'm proud of this, you know. And you know, producing an improv show is easy. It's just getting people together, but to me, I want people who are going to have a good mood, who want or willing have a good mood, good attitude, and willingness to try. And to me, improvisers have that in general, and I'm really grateful, you know, that I get to do it again.
And the sentimentality continues. Vance, before we wrap it up, why should people see this festival starting tonight through Sunday?
Just to have a good time. What other reason do you need? It's going to be a lot of fun. All the performers, all the people on site are going to have a really good time. We have a great bar. We have a great staff. It's just going to be really positive vibes. I can't believe I'm using vibes to sell a festival, but honestly, it's going to be just such a good time. I recommend going to any of the nights of the festival. Come to several of them if you want. We have passes which get you into all of our shows for just $40. All that stuff is on our website, but just come and have a good time. You know, it's a perfect mid-August type event. We've got air conditioning, we've got drinks, we've got, you know, one of the very best neighborhoods to have some sort of a gathering like this. Just come and have a good time.
Now, only in the summer in Montreal can air conditioning be used as a coercion to get people to buy a ticket to a show, and it works on me.
I mean, let's be honest. Montreal hasn't always been blessed with performance venues that are comfortable to sit in the summer, right? So I will underline that. I'm not going to stop talking about our AC. It's great AC.
Well, we have multiple AC. So the temperature is always perfect.
There you have it, folks. Multiple ACs, multiple nights of laughter. It's Montreal Improv's Summer Fling Festival beginning tonight, all the way through Sunday. Festival passes and individual tickets available at montrealimprov.com. Mel Vance, good luck on your shows, and we'll see you over the next few days.
Thank you, James.
Thanks, James.
I'm James, and you're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. Coming up later, Dave Kaufman stops by to chat about a little project we work on every Monday on Twitch. But before we do that, let's sit down with Dale Bernier and Avery Jane and talk about how live music is going to inspire live comedy as part of Montreal Improv Summer Fling Festival. And wouldn't you know it, here they come. Dale and Avery, welcome to Upstage. Thanks so much for being here. How's your day treating you?
Pretty good. Great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
See, now immediately Avery is just sunshine on the mic. Dale, you sound very serious. Sound very serious and angry. And I understand.
No, I feel good. I feel good.
I understand tonight it's all business. Your little boy, troubadour, all grown up. It's back for the first time in a long time. What does it feel like to have the show back?
Oh, it's great. Back since the last one was in probably 2019, I'm guessing, at the old theater on Saint Laurent. So,
in the name of musicians, as Aaron Lewis of Stained once said, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
See, now this is the hopefully first and only time you'll be singing on the airwaves tonight, Dale. So for people who don't know what Troubadour is, would you please educate the listeners as to what they might be expecting tonight at Montreal Improv?
Great. So Troubadour is a improv show that's based on live music. It was an idea that I got from a show called Improv for Humans, where they do that. It's a podcast that they do that, Improv for Humans. And I wanted to get a show where I had some music because I don't go see live music anymore, James. So I wanted to bring live music to me. That was the general idea. And so a musician will play some songs. This time it'll be Avery tonight. With a little bit of ask some questions to the musician. And through that, two groups of improvisers will do improv based on those songs.
All right. So you're bringing the music to you. So this is truly a project bred from laziness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's bred from working at the theater all the time and not able to go to music venues anymore. So just I want to bring the music right to me.
Well, that feels like a perfect segue. Avery, we were chatting a couple weeks ago. Of course, you're a manager at Montreal Improv. We were chatting over a couple of refreshments. You mentioned it's interesting that as folks who work at the theater, whether you're behind the bar, behind the tech booth, you don't get integrated a lot into the shows. And fast forward to tonight, you are literally immersed in the show. You're going to be on stage bringing your musical styling. So not in a way of shouting suggestions from the back of the room. You are the suggestions. Your lyrics are the suggestions. Your sounds are the suggestions. What does that feel like to be thrust right into it?
I mean, it's definitely a jump. I thought maybe I would start by just yelling like on the beach or something in the middle, but I skipped right over that. And now I'm going to be on stage. It's definitely a little nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm.
Well, can I ask, what maybe would be more nerve-wracking, if possible, more nerve-wracking about this than maybe the type of live musical performance that you're used to?
Oh, well, I'd say it's just my normal live music performances are very rehearsed. I know exactly what people are going to think in a sense. Like it's, oh, I'm playing at a bar. Everyone's just, you know, milling about. But this, I feel everyone's really paying attention and I'm going to get dissected a little bit.
Right. So they won't be watching from the perspective of, oh, that feels like thoughtful lyrics or I want to get up and dance. It's, I wonder how they're going to turn it into a joke.
Exactly.
Now, out of curiosity on your end, has that thought crossed your mind where you're flashing forward to tonight at Montreal Improv and you're sitting there and you're thinking, how dare these jokers and clowns take this meaningful lyric and turn it into a scene about diapers?
Well, I will say that I'm not going to play any of my most heartfelt songs tonight.
That's a good choice. That feels like a good choice.
Keep those for myself. I have done a little bit of comedy stylings, you could say, integrating my music into comedy shows and such. So I feel like I'll kind of toe that line again tonight and keep that sort of vibe. Just kind of keep it funny, keep it light with a lot of lyrical options.
And I'd like to say, yeah. Sorry, I'd like to say also that I know Avery hasn't done the show before, but it's never been a situation where we roast the musician or anything like that. It's just being inspired and having a good time.
Yeah, that sure. felt like a cautionary tale.
I'm just letting everyone know. No one's getting roasted. Maybe me.
Well, it's interesting, Avery, that you bring up the idea of you're going to bring some of your lighter kind of content to the stage because, Dale, you've done this show in the past. From your perspective as a performer and producer on the show, have you ever felt moments of difficulty where perhaps one of the musicians or artists is singing something that's maybe a little bit more heartfelt or serious sounding and thinking, how the heck are we going to turn this into comedy on stage?
No, I don't think so. I feel like the improvisers in the past have done a really good job with it. We've had some serious subject matter at times that maybe felt a little bit weird for the audience, but it's always been handled well. The only time that I had a weird experience was when I had my best friend did it, and I thought he was going to have all these great stories and stuff, and he jumped up on the mic and said, "Everything's self-explanatory." And that was, and so I was surprised because we had been friends for so long and he had all these great stories, but he got a little nervous right before, but it was still a great show.
Well, I think that kind of speaks to what Avery mentioned earlier, right? We're so used to improv being contained in the style and format that we're used to that perhaps when an outsider comes in as a sort of a fish out of pond. It's like, whoa, what type of audience am I expecting here? Now, Avery, you have the benefit, again, as I mentioned, of working at Montreal Improv. So I feel like you've been able to get sort of a lay of the land in terms of what audience that you might be sort of expecting going into this show tonight.
It's true. I feel like it's a bit different, though, serving someone a beer and looking at them right in the audience. So I'm a little bit wary, I suppose, but I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty excited to see the other side of it, just because I am around the improv community so much and so much more than I ever thought I would. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be pretty cool to be in the show, I suppose.
Yeah, and I'm curious to talk about that too, right? Because you came to Montreal Improv, like you mentioned, very much an outsider. And I say that in, of course, the nicest of ways. And you just mentioned, I've spent more time around improv and the improv community more than I would have ever imagined. What has that been like for you?
It's honestly been great. I think it's an art form that I never thought I'd be such an expert in, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm getting a little bit critical, but I do really enjoy it. And honestly, it's one of the nicest communities of people that I've worked for and served in a very long time. So it's pretty cool to be in that scene now. So I'm pretty excited to be a part of it and say, oh, I kind of did improv too.
Well, I want to jump on that thought over to you, Dale, right? Because improv often appeals to people who are maybe looking for something new, kind of a shiny experience. Do you have any thoughts for people who maybe come to us from a different performance background, words of wisdom that you might be able to pass on to them? Because look, here's the deal, Dale. You might be speaking right now to someone who is also a musician who you might source for future troubadours.
Well, that's it. And that's and to the point earlier of the audience, I'm hoping tonight and future troubadours that we get more musicians also in the audience. And sort of like that's part of the idea of when I created the show as well, was to kind of get new people in. Love the comedy people, love the improvisers who come to the shows, but it would be great to have people from the music world come and see the show as well. So I guess it's just like enjoy both aspects of it. You know, you get a little bit of both in this show, because we definitely are going to have moments where Avery is just playing music and we're not going to be making, was it diaper jokes, as James said? But
that's what James said. That's correct.
But also we'll be doing improv in between. So there's a lot of everything for everyone, I would say.
Well, in terms of the improv, Dale, we were talking about this earlier in the episode with Vance Gillis and Mel McRae. It's been a very long time since the comedy community at large, of course, not counting Just for Laughs, has been able to come together for some type of festival. What does the Summer Fling mean to you moving forward?
Oh, it's very exciting. And I think a lot of the students I have and a lot of my peers and stuff we're super excited to be doing this festival, because we had festivals in the past. And we know it's been a tough time coming back, getting stopped at Christmas, and then coming back a little bit, and then all the restrictions and such. So I think it's exciting to have a festival. And I know there's a bunch of shows that we, all of us, haven't seen in a long time, including Easy Action, 50-50, and some new shows as well.
Well, yeah, Avery, at the same time, obviously, COVID, and not to turn this into a gigantic discussion and breakdown of the dichotomy of the pandemic that is, was, and might be forever. What was that like for you, right? Because the commonality that we all share is we're performers and artists. What was that sort of stop and start like for you?
Oh, I mean, it was pretty wild. I'd say like right at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020 was when I started performing the most. I finally had like maybe four shows a week where I was consistently playing and I was performing, and I had all this material, all this stuff, and I was on a pretty quick upwards trajectory, but it all kind of just came crumbling down and I had to rebuild. I'd say I rebranded, rebuilt, came up with new content, but I find it was pretty good for my musical abilities. Took me a lot of time to just like practice and get better. And I think I learned a lot more about my style and my own music. So I'd say it was a good thing in all, but it's definitely been slow coming back into the live performance world. It's been a lot of online and recorded stuff. So.
And have you found any difficulties? Because I know in the world of improv, it took a lot of people some time to kind of shake the cobwebs off. Had you felt that similarly in the world of live music?
In a sense, for like longer shows where I used to do maybe 2 hours of music, that I still don't think I'm ready for. For some reason, I just can't remember anything after an hour. Mm-hmm. But I, other than that, I feel like I was just ready to go for live music. I did some outdoor shows during the pandemic and it was just the best feeling. So as many live performances as I can get, I was right there getting them. So,
well, what I'm curious to know is this. So Avery, you've spent a lot of time around improv, as we were chatting about earlier. Have you had any type of urge at any moment? Like, you know what, I'm going to jump into a class. I'm going to try this, because you never know, in 1 year's time, Dale, you might be the one with your guitar on stage while Avery is the one taking your lyrics and turning them into diaper scenes.
Would love it. I would love that.
No.
There we go. The answer is final. No.
But I think Avery, as Avery said earlier, she's probably seen more improv than most people just from being at the back at the bar. She probably, she was mentioning, she's getting what was the word you used? You're becoming more critical, which I can see that being the case, since she sees a lot every day.
I actually did improv as a kid. I was in my improv club and I did a lot of theater, a lot of musical theater, things like that. I was in Shakespeare plays, all that jazz. So I think that I sort of, that ran its course in my life and I realized what my real passion was in the performance world. But I wouldn't say no to it, but I'd say it's not something I'm jumping on. I'd rather use my time for music.
Yeah, now, again, we used the term a cautionary tale earlier, right? I feel like you've maybe been experiencing that from the back of the room of, oh, I like that. This, I don't know. Oh, how about that? Yeesh.
I mean, maybe I'd go on stage and I'd just kill it. I'd be the best improviser there is with all my experience, but I highly doubt it. I don't think I've got
all right, camera. Dale, watch your back. Someone's coming for you.
gunning for me?
They're gunning and coming for you. Dale, I want to chat with you briefly about the fact that you yourself have also had a past as a musician. I've seen you noodle on a guitar. I've seen you sing a song or two. Has there ever been a moment where you've thought to yourself, why don't I become the troubadour on stage?
I've had other people mention that to me. Maybe the last one I do, that might be what I do. I wrote a lot of songs back in the day. I haven't done it in a long time. James got me to write a song for my girlfriend in the pandemic, which was great. It got me back into playing music. But yeah,
I brought love back into your relationship.
You brought love back into my life, James. And so, yeah, if I get enough songs and if I get confident enough, because as Avery knows, you want to practice, you want to get better. So, but yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be a fun way to maybe end Troubadour forever.
Talking to Dale and Avery, they will both be a part of Troubadour tonight at Montreal Improv, located in St. Henry. It's part of the Montreal Improv Summer Fling Festival. Tickets and passes available, montrealimprov.com. Avery, of course, I'd be remiss if we didn't continue to talk about your individual music career. Do you have any shows coming up that people might find you where, again, it's not going to turn into, you know, sillies and make-em-ups and all the other improv-style lingo?
I wish I could say yes, but I actually don't have any personal shows coming up.
Oh, my God. I thought I was teeing you up with this perfect segue to, you can see me at the Diving Bowl on Friday night.
So there you go. So there you go, people. If you want to see her, you got to come tonight, 8:30, exactly. And you'll see her.
That's it.
The one and only performance.
This is the one and only performance.
You don't know when the next time is going to be.
There will be more. There will be many more, but no date set in stone at this moment. So you have to come tonight.
But here, let's bridge the gap a little bit. Where can people find you if they're looking to stay up to date with your musical stylings?
I would say my Instagram, which is @SundayPeaches with two S's at the end. And I'm also on Spotify, Apple Music, and all that jazz under Avery Jane. You can see me there.
Now, Dale, you are most certainly not available on Spotify.
No, I am not.
All right. Well, what do you have coming up outside of Troubadour tonight, Dale? Of course, we're on the radio. It's important to get some of those plugs in. Plug it in, Dale.
Yeah. Well, this whole festival, I'll be doing a bunch of shows in this festival. Looking forward to that. Tonight, the first show is at 7 p.m. My group, after this, we're going to Tokyo. We'll be doing that. That's before Troubadour. Tomorrow night, I'll be in your show, James, which is the main event. Before the main event is Easy Action, which I'll be watching. And Saturday, I'm doing 50-50, which is Vance Gillis's show, which is a very cool show, which is actors who have learned their lines paired up with improvisers who don't know what's happening. And it just keeps going forward in the script for the actors, and the improvisers try to keep up, which was always a great show, always fun. And Sunday, I'll be in the Sunday show, which is happening on, if you guessed it, Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I feel like it would have maybe been easier if I asked you, what shows are you not in over the next 4 days, Dale?
That would be the French one.
Which is, coincidentally enough, just got done speaking with Mel McCrae. That's the one that I will be in. So if you're looking to hear me speak some very, very poor French, that's the show for you. Dale and Avery, any final thoughts before we say goodnight for the evening? Because you have to make your way down to the space. This is a big night. Avery, final thoughts?
Just get ready. I'm going to have some great music for everyone tonight.
Awesome. I love it.
A lot of diaper jokes.
A lot of diaper jokes. Look, this is the ultimate commercial and the ultimate teaser. Dale, final thoughts on your end?
Super excited to be bringing Troubadour back. Super excited that Avery decided to be the guest. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, pumped. Got a great cast coming out to do it. And no one's getting roasted but me. 8:30 tonight at Montreal Improv.
Well, thanks, you mentioned great cast, Dale. I have to say that I'm still waiting for that invitation.
Oh, you always get your invitation, James. You always have an invitation. You know that.
Well, Dale, you've got an invitation into my heart. And Avery, you've got one too. Thank you so much for being here this evening. I really do appreciate it. Good luck with the show tonight. Can't wait to see it.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
I'm James, and you're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and on CKUT.ca. Folks, here's the deal. I have been a guest on this show a multitude of times promoting a variety of things. Now, with that said, it feels somewhat unusual to be here and not shamelessly self-promote something. So in the name of shameless self-promotion, our next guest is somebody that I collaborate with each and every Monday at 9 p.m. on At Home with James, which airs live on Twitch. He's a Montreal-based comedian and one of my close personal friends. Let's talk to Dave Kaufman. Dave, thank you so much for being on tonight's episode of Upstage. How's it going?
It's going pretty well. How are you doing, James?
Well, I'm doing great. I do have to say that it is unusual for you and I to be engaging on this type of medium, despite the fact that we engage on some type of medium every Monday at 9 p.m. Correct or incorrect?
It's very odd. I did want to congratulate you on making it to the radio.
Well, thank you.
Big leagues.
I'm living my childhood dream right now. And in many ways, since you're such a close personal friend, as I mentioned, I'm bringing you along for the ride because I'm the type of guy that likes to do good by his friends when they do good by me.
Sure. I guess I'm honored to be here.
The reviews are in. Quote, sure, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, as I was mentioning prior to starting, anytime I'm on this show, you know, I chat with Sarah about the projects that I'm working on, but it feels sort of selfish for me to personally spend 15 to 18 to 20 minutes talking about myself, about my project. So I thought the best course of action was to invite you to talk about my project.
Yeah, I was going to say, still seems kind of selfish in a little, this is almost worse.
Well, we'll let the listeners decide if it's worse. Dave, you and I have been collaborating on a project called At Home with James for over 2 years now. What's it been like for you?
It's all right. It's pretty fun. I mean,
the reviews are in. It's all right. It's pretty fun.
In all honesty, it's a really fun project. We make some good comedy, high quality comedy, and I've been really enjoying it.
Well, Dave, you know, here's the deal for people who may or may not know. You're a practitioner of improv. You've recorded a web series. You've done sketch. It felt like the opportune thing to do during a pandemic was to take your talents and put them on the internet.
I agree. I think, this internet, I think it's got legs.
There you go. More breaking news. The internet has legs, according to Dave Kaufman, in August 2022. Well, this is the thing, because you mentioned, Dave, it might be selfish. I wanted to really do my due diligence and prepare. So I have set up That's right. I have set up questions for you to make this as official as possible. Now, I know that when you and I are collaborating together on Twitch, which we do on twitch.tv/athomewithjames, it's a little looser. Tonight, we're going to reel it in.
Yeah, I feel a little bit restricted right now, but I think that's okay. I think that suits the vibe of being on the real radio.
Well, and this is the thing. It's going to bring out the best of not only you, but me as well. And in this partnership, I think that's what we need.
You know, a little bit of pressure, it makes diamonds.
All right. Well, Dave, are you ready for question number one?
Sure. Yeah, bring it on.
All right. Here we go. Dave, you began working on this project in 2020, which is the year the pandemic began. Since then, how has the show evolved and how would you like to see it continue to evolve?
You're talking about the COVID pandemic?
That's correct. That pandemic.
Firstly, we started off on Instagram, so I think the first Jamesvolution was that we moved it to twitch.tv, which is sort of a better platform for streaming. I'd like to see us get a bit of a budget and maybe do some bigger production pieces or maybe a live version of the show.
Now, as a follow-up question, when you say bigger budget pieces, what does that mean to you, Dave?
Oh, God. I don't know, maybe license some music or something.
Oh, so you're saying we get some actual songs on the show?
Well, right now we're using all copyright-free music because we don't want to be censored, for lack of a better word, by the Twitch algorithms.
Right, the so power maybe, of liberty maybe, on the internet.
Maybe we get somebody to record a theme song for us.
Okay, so that's how you'd like to see the show evolve.
Sure, yeah. And do a live show, maybe.
All right. Great answer.
Thank you.
Next question. Dave, after close to 400 episodes, what are some of the challenges, either professional or personal, that you have faced working on the program?
There's always challenges working with an erratic host.
Now, what's that supposed to mean, Dave?
Well, sometimes we butt heads over, small stuff. But generally, our friendship shines through. I don't really have too many challenges. I think maybe getting some eyes on some of the content that we really feel is top tier on the show.
Any personal challenges?
I mean, I'd love to slim down and be easy on the eyes for those people who watch on the stream.
All right, so you're saying that perhaps this can be a segue into getting some type of sponsorship deal that you can use as a testimonial and then use to promote on the show as well.
Sure. I mean, if Gatorade's listening, I'd love to cut a deal.
Yeah, of course, Gatorade full of sugar. Let's move on to the next question. Dave, you've actually guest hosted the show a variety of times. What was that experience like for you? Was it exciting, scary, or both?
Sorry, I'm just taking a quick sip of my Gatorade. It'd be easy to say that hosting was the easiest thing in the world and it takes no effort whatsoever. That would be the easy answer.
Yeah, that would be the easy answer. But what we want right now, this is a hard-hitting interview, so we want some hard-hitting answers.
It's challenging. What do you? How do you bring an audience in on the journey with you? How do you get them on your side, but still not pander to them? I mean, there's a lot of challenges and how to go from one interesting topic to the next interesting topic. You got to do a lot of prep, which I do none of when I host the show. So that can be a challenge. And luckily, some of those improv chops come into play sometimes.
All right. Great answer. Dave, yes? Let's end this portion of the interview with something a little fun. What's something people might be surprised to learn about you?
Surprised to learn about me? Well, when I'm not doing comedy, I'm a computer programmer. I work in the game development industry, which is thriving here in Montreal.
Okay, so that's your surprising answer.
Well, I mean, it's not terribly surprising. I wasn't going to go into some deep, dark secret.
We're talking with Dave Kaufman on Upstage. He is a collaborator on At Home with James. And by James, of course, I mean myself. It happens every Monday at 9 p.m. on twitch.tv/athomewithjames. Now, Dave, I took the liberty of accumulating some fan questions. Listeners have sent in questions for you. I have not sifted through these. I have not gone through these. These are unfiltered, raw. Are you ready to face some listener questions?
Sure. And I just want to say that on the show, since we're on Twitch, we have an active listener pool and with a live chat that we respond to. So we're used to getting it from the audience.
It's true. We're a couple old veterans in this respect.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, Dave, the first question comes from Claude Bibot. And Claude writes, "Hello, Dave. First and foremost, I am a big fan, but I am an even bigger family man. I love my parents, and I would be shocked to find out that you didn't love yours. I'm curious to know how or if your parents supported your quest in comedy. Thanks." And again, that question comes from Claude Bibot.
Well, I would say that my mom is quite supportive. She wants me to pursue my dreams, and my dad doesn't really care for it, but that's okay. I still love him.
Well, hold on. We have to expand on that. This is an interview show. What do you mean your dad doesn't care for your comedy dreams?
Well, I think he doesn't. He thinks he considers it more of a hobby. And now that I have my own family, I have a lovely daughter, and I'm expecting a son somewhere down the line. He thinks that I should give it up, pack it in, and focus primarily on my day job and raising my kids.
All right, so at least 50% of your parents support your quest in comedy.
Sure, and that's pretty good.
All right, so Claude, we hope that answers your question. Dave, are you ready for the next audience question?
Absolutely ready. I'm just going to take a quick sip of my Gatorade.
Yeah, of course. And just so people know, this is not a sponsored segment. Next question comes from Lucy Nilsson. Lucy writes, "Hi, Dave. Let's cut to the chase. The chemistry you have with James is comparable to that of Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal in the 1989 major motion picture When Harry Met Sally. I'm curious to know, what is it really like working with James? And don't be shy to give us the inside scoop. Lovingly yours, Lucy." That was an interesting tag to that letter.
Sure, and an interesting comparison from a sort of history of cinema kind of perspective.
Yeah, of course. Well, When Harry Met Sally, a very famous and well-known romantic comedy.
Sure. With one very famous scene, which we don't necessarily need to go into on public radio. But, I don't know, working with James, it's a bit awkward because he's right in front of me right now. But it's great. He's a good guy. He's a talented host. And he does most of the planning and legwork, so I can't really complain about that.
All right, so that's what you would define as the inside scoop. That was a very nice answer, Dave, I have to say.
Well, I mean, I don't want to air all of our skeletons publicly, of which there are many.
All right, well, we'll move on from there. Again, like you mentioned, this is public radio. We've got one more fan question. There was only three.
That's okay. That's pretty good.
Next question comes from Preston Manning. "Hi, Dave. I'm planning on seeing you perform at tonight's edition of Troubadour, and I'm very excited. I have two questions, so I hope that's okay." Dave, is that okay?
Sure. I mean, is this the political figure, Preston Manning?
He doesn't go into detail, so it could be, but it might also not be.
Sure. I mean, it's a popular name.
Preston writes, "The first question is, what should we expect to see out of you at tonight's show?" Dave, of course, you're performing at Troubadour. We had Dale Bernier on the show earlier this evening. He's the producer of the show. It is improv inspired by music. What should people expect to see specifically out of you at tonight's show?
Well, you know, it's an improv show, so it's hard to know exactly what you can expect. I'll probably play one or two irreverent characters and maybe a few voice of reason characters. But you don't come to an improv show for one particular improviser. You come to an improv show for a group, for the vibe, and to have a good time. So regardless of what happens and what comes out of me, Preston, you're going to enjoy the ensemble work, I think.
All right. Well, it sounds like Preston Manning is coming for you, though.
Sure. Well, I appreciate that.
All right. Well, again, it was a two-sided question. Preston Manning writes, "The second question is, since the show is improv inspired by music, Do you have a pre-show pump-up song? If not, what would it be and why? Thanks. Signed, Preston Manning.
I don't have an improv pump-up song. I like to just hang out with the cast before the show, just, you know, ease the nerves through just a little bit of socializing. But if I did have one, I feel like it might be maybe that Right Said Fred song.
I'm Too Sexy?
Sure, yeah. I feel like that, you know, you need a bit of an ego to perform. So maybe that would inspire a little bit of an ego.
Okay, so that would be the why portion of the question, is that that Right Said Fred song would pump you up and put you into the mindset of feeling confident and ready to take the stage.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can listen to that song and not feel supremely confident.
Well, Dave, we've been talking about Montreal Improv Summer Fling all episode long. I'd be remiss if we didn't touch on it, which we just did a little bit in respect to Troubadour. It was 2 years in between, for the most part, where people were doing a ton of performance on stage to not a ton of performance. Things are kind of back to where they once were. How do you envision the climate of improv in Montreal currently?
You know, it's interesting because through COVID, things sort of fell apart, understandably. Hard to run a live performance venue when there is no live performance. But through out of the ashes, you know, a new phoenix was born. I think things are pretty thriving right now. There's a lot of different pockets of communities popping up, which is really nice to see. A lot of old hats, but a lot of rising new stars. So I'm pretty positive about the improv scene in Montreal. It's a good shakeup.
All right. Now, in terms of the word selfish, which we used earlier, and when we say we, of course, we mean you about me. I'm curious to know, selfishly, any desires for yourself when it comes to improv in the future?
For myself, you know, I'd like to maybe produce a show of my own at someday, maybe you know, long-term vision, that could be something that'd be interesting. Just keep grinding the scene, you know, and making people laugh. That's what I like doing, so I hope to continue doing that.
Well, as we continue to wind down, Dave, curious to know, where can people find you every Monday at 9 p.m
I you know, I do tech and help out on a little show called At Home with James, starring your host, James McGee. And we're on twitch.tv/athomewithjames. Come check it out. It's a real good time. Write us a message in the chat. We'll respond. And we might bore you with some episodes. We'll excite you with some other ones. And overall, we'll shock you with what you'll see. You only click that link.
And I will say, I don't suspect that Sarah has any other guests who promise to bore you with some of their content in the way that you and I just did.
Well, we did do a 10-part episode on Radio Shack commercials, and that was very polarizing.
Which, once again, you can find in our archives by way of twitch.tv/athomewithjames. Dave, thanks so much for being here this evening. Good luck with the show tonight, and I love you.
I love you too, James. Thanks a lot for having me.
Pleasure's all mine. That was Dave Kaufman, and that's it for us on tonight's episode. As they happen to say, turn out the lights. The party is over. Tonight you heard Vance Gillis, Mel McRae, Avery Jane, Dale Bernier, and one more time, Dave Kaufman, who will all be on stage as part of Montreal Improv's, you guessed it, Summer Fling Festival. Don't you dare miss it. It all begins tonight and runs until Sunday at the Montreal Improv Theater, located at 3716 Notre Dame, in what I believe to be Montreal's best neighborhood, St. Henry. Am I biased because I live there? Most probably. Folks, we did it. We're done. I am out of here. A very heartfelt and special thanks to Sarah DeHay for inviting me to sit in tonight and entrusting me with her baby. It's very much appreciated. Of course, she'll be back next week. A huge thank you to Dimitri Kirez for ensuring that this show makes the air. Don't forget, you can step into the archives to hear past episodes of Upstage on CKUT.ca. Thank you so much for listening. I'm James, you are you, and we were here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Thank you.
Union United Church, Cinema Politica, and Catbird Productions are proud to invite you to a special community screening of Dear Jackie, a feature documentary by Henri Pardo. This special event will take place in Little Burgundy's historic Union United Church on Thursday, September 1st at 7 p.m., and the screening will be followed by a discussion with the director and participants from the film. Dear Jackie poetically tells the story of one of the oldest black communities in Canada, Montreal's Little Burgundy, by way of a cinematic letter to Jackie Robinson, the first black man to break the color barrier in professional baseball. It also masterfully connects to the present by challenging the myth of a post-racial society. Make sure not to miss this special event. Admission is on a first-come, first-served basis, and a minimum donation of $5 for the church is highly recommended. This event is sponsored by Caisse des Jardins du Sud-Ouest de Montréal and the Sud-Ouest Borough of Montreal. For more information, visit cinemapolitica.org. We hope to see you there. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Montrealers were so proud it happened in their city.
Welcome to the August 18th edition of Gray Matters. Tonight on the show, we have another presentation by Howard Zinn from Alternative Radio. This one is entitled Q&A in Albuquerque. It was recorded in September of 2002. It's a recently discovered tape, so says David Barsamian. It was recorded before a lecture that Zinn gave in Albuquerque in 2002. A series of lectures by Howard Zinn are being presented for his centenary. He was born in 1922. So, here it is, Howard Zinn Questions and Answers in Albuquerque, this week's edition of Gray Matters.
And you might say that the history of the American government since the end of the Vietnam War has been an attempt to destroy that spirit of rebellion that arose in the 1960s to control people more. Everything the government has been doing, the way it has waged wars, the way it has established control, the way it has made liaisons with the major media, right up to the Homeland Security Act, I think all of that. But it's important to take note of that. They don't want an excess of democracy. Our job is to have an excess of democracy. That's how-